open the door and jump in. Is it Takanoko? Like a taco?
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I am Red Bear.
You just heard Michael Jumpin' by No More Kings. In case you don't know, that's about Kit and Michael from, the Knight Rider series.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the Hoff. That's the Hoff, man.
Don't hassle the Hoff.
Don't hassle the Hoff. You know what? The funny thing about David Hasselhoff lately is he came back in the SpongeBob movie.
I have not seen that yet.
No,
that's
not the
list.
New one, the original one.
Okay,
the
I haven't
first,
seen that either.
SpongeBob
I am terrible.
The movie. Yeah, so he saw that.
Was
a really good.
Wow.
Yeah, he was in there, and then he's most recently in the music video. He's singing the music video for Kung Fury.
Oh, I have seen that. That was amazing.
If you haven't checked Kung Fury out, 30-minute indie film produced and funded by people from Kickstarter.
Watch the music video. If nothing else.
It's really, really great. I watched all of Kung Fury. I think as soon as it came out, I watched it. It's free on YouTube. We'll put a link in the show, or maybe just a separate thing,
we'll
a blog
post
or whatever.
Things on the website that we have.
Speaking of which, we have a website, Bear.
We do.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
thanks. So what
you
is,
paid? I see. We still have the subscription.
We have the
domain.
Yes, we have the domain. What is that domain?
It is exppoints.com. Remember, double tap that P.
That's cool. We also have social media at exppoints.com/social. If you want to hit us up again, PayPal and Patreon. We'll take your money and we'll do cool things conditionally with your money your money. Also
with
your money. I mean, we could probably do that. There's no laws against doing those things with money. So
not yet.
Anyway, we didn't introduce the show properly. This is the show where we talk about nerd and geek stuff.
This is what happens in season 7.5.
In season 7.5, we just forget. We throw the script.
I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt right now.
All right.
You know, I mean, it's summertime. We're just taking a break.
That's it. We look like we're going we look like we're cast members on Gilligan's Isle.
Oh, man. I would love to be a cast member on
Gigglin's Isle.
Yeah, welcome to season 7.5, everyone.
That's it.
Rolling.
Well, that's cool. We are going to cut to a song. We're going to come back, and we are going to talk about what
myself.
We did this past week. We're going to go to Cartoons, but New Stuff by Dr. Awkward featuring MC Chris. If you don't agree with this song, you're probably listening to the wrong show.
Get
I'm MG.
Here. And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
We're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points. Still your awesome host, MG.
Still the better host, Red Bear.
You're so funny.
You see what I did? I know.
You just heard Cartoons by Dr. Awkward featuring MC Chris. This is a section of the show where we talk about what we did this past week.
Whoa.
Bear.
I've been a busy little nerd, I'll be honest.
Busy little nerd. What did you do in the past?
In the past? Well, I've done a lot.
What did
but
you,
we can't talk
what
about
did you
that
do,
legally
Ray?
Anymore. But no. Actually, one thing, the mothers have found us.
The mothers.
My mother figured out how to computer and found the stream.
Oh.
And apparently listened to the show. Funny story about that.
All of the show?
No. Funny story about that. So about 3/4 of the way through our show last week, she's listening to the stream on her Mac. And I get a call. And she's like, I can't make it stop. How do I make it stop, Chase? And
nice.
I'm like, what are you talking about? And she found the stream, but didn't know how to close actual applications on a Mac. So
awesome.
That's fun mother humor.
That's great.
You can't close it. We're here with you forever.
Forever, and you must listen to us now.
Mrs. Red Bear. Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Red Bear, wow. Anyway, so movie season started because we're in the summer, and that's when we release movies, I guess. Maybe that's because kids are out of school. I don't know. So I've actually went to 2 movies this past week.
Which movies?
Tomorrowland and San Andreas.
Okay, San Andreas has The Rock in it.
The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Has George Clooney.
George Clooney, yeah.
So how were they?
I have opinions. So they're very opposite movies. You know, San Andreas about the world being destroyed, Tomorrowland about hope and tomorrow.
Yeah.
And in fact, they point out that we're like obsessed with our own destruction, which was fun.
Tomorrowland seems like it's like a positive spin on Atlas Shrugged, like a happy dappy Atlas Shrugged version.
Okay, so Tomorrowland, I watched it twice, went with some friends another time, but I really liked it. There's some weird pacing around, I guess, about the second scene, I suppose, because like at first it's like really fast, and then it just drags on for a while, and then everything's really fast again. So it's a 2-hour film. I enjoyed it. Rotten Tomatoes gave it 50%, and Metacritic gave it 60%. So, I mean,
that's like
50,
a fairly, 50? That's a fairly, like,
split.
50% is not just like average. 50% typically is like bad.
Right.
So
apparently what a lot of people were saying is the movie was confusing and they couldn't follow it.
Oh, so
I mean, I don't know why. They pretty much spelled out everything for you.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a problem with it, but we all know that everyone that listens to the show is at least 20% more intelligent than the average human.
And cooler.
So then San Andreas, that movie, 50% on Rotten Tomato, 43% by Metacritic. Everything in that movie worked because The Rock Dwayne Johnson was the one doing it.
Yeah.
If any normal human would have done anything he would have done, none of it would have worked and everyone would have died. Like, he literally rowed a boat, like, up a tsunami because...
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I did not much care for San Andreas. It was too ridiculous. I think my mindset was wrong. I was going expecting a serious movie about, like, the end of California.
It was just this awesome action-typey movie.
Well, no, not even that. I think it thought it was serious.
Oh.
But the only reason anything works is because The Rock Dwayne Johnson was right. The main star.
It was supposed to be Dante's Peak, and in the end, it was Sharknado.
Yeah, basically. If you want to see a good Rock movie, watch The Rundown.
That was a good one.
Summer movie season's kicked off, and at Perkins Row at Cinemark, they have their classic movies starting up. Last week was James Bond, Goldfinger.
Okay.
You know, one of the best, has my favorite line, where, you know, you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. It's just, I love that the villainous of that. And then Terminator's next week. It's a $30 movie pass, and I think there's like 6 classic films showing, ending with Gremlins, I believe. And Spaceballs is apparently a classic film, though.
Yeah, I thought Classics was 10 or more years old.
I guess, yeah. Spaceballs is on
like,
there.
The Matrix is a classic movie. Shut it was made up. In 99.
Shut up.
I know.
I'm not that old. Looking forward to Jurassic World coming up this week. Thing I watched randomly, Cat Soup.
Cat Soup, yes.
Have you seen Cat Soup?
Yes.
So, it's a half hour of your life. I found it on YouTube. Pretty sure super legal stream. Yeah. It's a half hour of your life that you're going to go, what? I think this was about death or something.
Yeah.
And then you read the Wikipedia page, you're like, this was totally about death or something.
Was that the one with rabbits?
With cats.
I'm thinking of the wrong one then.
I guess. Yeah. Like, at some point they unzip a pig to, like, cook him.
Oh, no. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, check that out. It's one of those things like, oh, God makes a cameo. So that's fun. Been playing a lot of Torchlight 2.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm over 24 hours in the past week on Torchlight 2.
See, I'd like to impress upon everybody, you did this opposite thing. You said... I'm not going to game. My computer is in a storage unit.
I did do that.
And I'm not going to game. I need to get away from gaming for a little bit just to like all the other stuff in life. And then a week passes, and now you are on the opposite side. You are saying, I game, PC gaming, master race. You can't separate me from my whatever. So,
PC.
My PC.
So Matt's lying, and I never said words like that.
Oh, well.
And then I played the Taco Panda game.
It's just the Taco Panda.
You were helping me say this before.
Takanoko?
Takanoko. I told you I wasn't going to remember it.
We had like Hooked on Phonics Bear Edition before the show.
I was like Takanoko.
In fact, go back online on the live stream or the online stream and
go back on the live stream. That's how the live stream works.
Yeah, well. Go back on the line stream and listen to the very first part of the show after Michael, and you'll hear
after
him go Takanoko like taco.
Yeah, so Takanoko board game. Play that with some friends. Really fun, simple game. Basically, the premise is you work for the Japanese Imperial Court.
Okay.
And the Chinese Emperor had given the Japanese Emperor a panda.
All right.
And your job is to take care of the panda, so you have to grow bamboo to feed it and stuff. And the farmer runs around, and the panda runs around and eats. And there's little goals and stuff. It's a fun, cute, awesome game. You should all play it.
Okay.
What else did I do? Anything? I made a list this time. That's how many things I did. So last week, I actually listened to this show, not on the radio, because I was in Baton Rouge doing some, you know, stuff, some gaming. Anyway, driving over there. Used Neutron Player to listen to the stream.
Mm-hmm.
It's for Android. That is probably the best music player I've ever used in my life. Just the amount of control it gives you over the audio. You can balance everything. You can speed up the tempo, lower the tempo, all kinds of craziness
awesome.
You can do. And it opens our streams. And it opens everyone. The MP3 stream, the AAC stream,
everything. They're all PLSs. They're all virtual Winamp player.
Yeah, this player on your Android device can actually open our streams.
Winamp, rest in peace.
Oh, God.
Ice cast.
Yeah.
Shell cast. Wow.
And then randomly I did drink 4 Monster and Uber Monsters today.
You sound like you got a little bit more energy, maybe more energy than I do, which is
it could be the 4 Uber Monsters.
Yeah.
And if you haven't had Uber Monster, oh my God, go get Uber Monster.
So what is the difference between a regular
it's a brewed type of monster. It's brewed. I don't know what that means. It's bioactivated on the bottle, and I'm sure it's totally healthy for me, and you can totally consume 4 in a day and not have any negative side effects or anything.
You're twitching.
No,
why
I'm not.
You, why are you twitching?
Twitch plays Pokemon.
Cool. You definitely had a lot. So much to me. You made a list.
I made a list.
I'm pretty excited that
yeah,
you made
I
a list.
Yeah, I look professional, yeah.
You, well, cool.
Oh, the terrible thing I did. I forgot about that. I reset my phone to factory settings. I did this because I switched over to Neutron Player because I didn't like the way Google Play was handling my music.
Okay.
Because you can download it locally, but it hides the files.
Yeah.
Because they suck, I guess. I don't know. That's my opinion, man.
So hold on. Does Neutron Player play Google Play Unlimited Access music?
I haven't tried. I don't actually have an account with that,
oh, okay.
So I don't know. Okay. I was like, but my legally, actually, honest to God, legally purchased music that I have in Google Play, I had it downloaded locally and then discovered you can't actually find the files or do anything. I do DJing and I play around with music.
Yeah,
and
no, you have to play it from that app.
Yeah, so that's why I started looking at Neutron Player. Again, I highly recommend it. There's a demo version you can download and try out. It's like $5 or $6 to buy the player.
Okay.
But so I reset my phone to put the music back on it how I want. And my God, that was like 3 hours of my life trying to get my phone to a workable order. Like, you don't realize how much your phone means to you till you hit that factory reset button.
I feel like there should be an app that offloads. You like plug it into the computer, you enable developer mode or whatever, and then you run this app and it says, oh, this is your phone. What apps do you want to grab all of the settings for?
So,
and it'll just pull all the settings. And maybe this thing may already exist.
So this is part of the problem, actually, because I kind of, like, my phone was full. I have a 32 gig phone. It was just, it had like megabytes left on it.
Okay.
And so I reset the phone expecting, you know, fresh phone, just like you redo your PC, fresh PC, right? Time to start again. Then Android, you know, logging into a Google account goes, oh, you have all these apps, and starts downloading everything I already had again.
Nice.
So I had to sit there and manually delete everything anyway.
Hmm.
So it's a cool feature if you want to, like, because they're trying to help you reset your phone, you know, if you lose it or
if
something.
If you want the phone
but
to be exactly the same.
But if you back to actual factory reset, from my reading, there's no way to actually do that besides just manually deleting everything.
Wow.
So just know that before you get involved. So what kind of fun week did you have, buddy?
I think I have probably less stuff to talk about than you.
That's different.
So I'm continuing Wandering the Wasteland in Fallout 3, Game of the Year Edition with specifically.
I've been poking around in New Vegas a little bit more.
I used to have like 100-something mods. Now I've sort of scaled back to Fallout Wanderer Edition, the Mart's Mutant mod, a few of the HD texture packs, the weapon kits, all of that stuff. But the FWE, Fallout Wanderers Edition, mm-hmm. And Fallout's one. It does.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's an actual thing.
Yeah, Fallout. It changes a bunch of stuff around. It's like these big conversion mods, or not conversion, but these big update mods. The crazy thing about FWE, Fallout Wonder Edition, is that it makes the game way harder. It makes a game where, you know, if you aim for the head and you can actually hit the head, then it's the same as, like, actually in real life, I guess, shooting a laser pistol and hitting someone in the head.
Well, so you get arrested and charged for murder.
Oh, no. I meant in post-apocalyptic Mad Max world. Speaking of which,
that movie, I think I probably mentioned it, but yeah.
Did,
wow.
Definitely.
By the way, I kind of liked it.
It was sort of a thing.
Great opening for summer music movie season. Sorry, I interrupted.
Oh,
by the way, I'm checking out that bling you got on your wrist. What's
I'm going to talk about
you
it.
You going to talk about that?
Yeah.
It's pretty.
So anyway, I'm still going through that. It makes the game so much more difficult than the vanilla game. In fact, so much so that it is almost unplayable at sections because... Because
you're not good enough.
Well, you don't know what to expect. Like, the perks are different. The amount of XP it takes to level up is different. You get less. And everybody, the global damage is like increased for everyone. So like you do more damage, but so does everything else in the world. Your fall damage hurts you a lot more. Like I was in Megaton and I just like hopped over something at Moriarty's and I fell down and then I just like died. The coolest mod though, I think, and I can't remember what it's called. It's like a awesome camera mod or something. I'll post a link to it. It puts the camera on the actual body model instead of just a floating
which was really cool.
Camera. So you can look down, and you can see your feet, and you can see your arms moving. Whenever you get knocked down, or whenever you can actually get knocked down, I'm not sure if you could do that in Fallout 3 Vanilla. When you get knocked down or whenever you die or whatever and your model ragdolls, usually you just zoom out. It goes third person.
Right.
Well, it doesn't anymore. So you're attached to your head, so it's this really trippy effect of you falling down and blood splashes on your screen and you have like two limbs down. You have to get back up and it's really, really crazy. So that's a really neat thing. But no, the another really cool thing is – or another unfortunate side effect of this is that if you don't know what you're going to need to handle, like for instance, in spoiler alert, if you haven't played this game yet,
whoa.
There's a point in the game
too soon.
There's a point in the game where you have to help the Brotherhood of Steel, or you could help the Brotherhood of Steel take down like a super giant mutant or whatever. And the first thing Sentinel Lion says is, grab the fat man. And it's this big nuke, mini nuke shooting, like, you know, volley throwing thing. So I grab it and I equipped it. And first off, I am a weakling. Like, in the game, FWE sets you so you can't carry as much. Like, it's more realistic. Yeah. So you have to really choose. Like, I can't carry a hunting rifle and a laser pistol and all your ammo and
all
everything.
This won't fit my backpack.
All this won't fix my backpack. So I get the fat man, and then I, like, eat a bunch of buff out. And
I'm not addicted. I can stop anytime I want.
I run back, and I aim, and this thing is, like, swaying my entire screen length left and right.
And to reiterate, this is a mini nuke.
This is a mini nuke, yeah.
Just in case no one got the reference.
Now, you think, whenever I fire it, it's just going to fire straight. No, not at all. It fires wherever the sway ends. So not only is it, and they added that, whenever it's swaying to the right, if you pull the trigger, it's just going to like fire at your feet.
And you just nuked yourself.
And you just nuked yourself. You die instantly. Everyone around you goes unconscious somehow, except Initiate Redding. She dies immediately, just like you. But no, so, you know, I'm playing that game. It's really, really good. That's going to be an entire series, I imagine, or at least a blog, once I get a significant portion. Whatever the second one, Brotherhood of Steel expansion was.
Okay.
I'll probably stop there and write it, write up a thing. But it looks very, very nice. I've been doing that. I went ahead and I started spinning up some music, making some music for some of our other shows that we are working on. Went ahead and getting some kind of promotional material.
He'll do that. I'll remix it, make it better.
Yeah, no, you probably could.
Probably.
And then the coolest thing that happened in the last week, at least, is I received my Pebble Time.
Yeah, you did.
I'm wearing it right now. That's what Bear was just talking about. It is, in case you don't know, Pebble Time is the color version of the Pebble. Released
I can touch
a while back.
Though.
It's not touchscreen, but you know what? It does what I need it to do. It's e-paper display in color.
Which is awesome. Your battery lasts longer.
It's like 6 to 7 days. And you know what? I've been telling people, it's not a smartwatch. It's a clever watch.
A clever watch.
It's clever because you don't need a phone for this thing to work pretty much exactly the way it does right now. Obviously, you're not going to receive messages or Facebook updates or whatever.
You want to anyway.
Yeah, but you know, you don't need it. It's not like it's running Android or whatever. It's running a custom little version of itself. It's got a microphone, which is very different from the original one. And I've actually installed Android Wear on here so that it can get the updates.
Nice.
It's not compatible with Android Wear. It just needs the plugin installed in order to use the voice thing. So for Hangouts, I can record or I can reply via SMS and then use my voice to talk into the microphone and on the thing, and it will. There's no speaker in this, so I can't hear music or anything out of this, but I can reply to
you. On the Apple iWatch.
You can on the Apple iWatch.
I don't know why you would, but you can.
Segment's running along. We're going to cut to another song, come back, and talk about some other stuff. This is Bitcoin Baron by YT Cracker. More new stuff on Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I am Red Bear.
You're listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I am Red Bear.
You just heard Airbrush the Rack Mix by Anamanaguchi. Threw another one in there right before that Bitcoin Baron by YT Cracker. We're going to skip our retro segment, though we're going to throw it back and forth. We're going to kind of combine them again. Again, it's the summer semester. It's the summer.
We do what we want.
It's half season. We can do whatever we want. We're going to talk about E3.
Shoes coming off.
E3 is what?
What?
E3 is on the horizon. E3 is coming up, and we thought it would be interesting to talk about some of the interesting things about E3. Not necessarily what's going down at this E3, though we are hoping, you know, more Fallout 4, more Metal Gear Solid 5, more Rock Band, hopefully.
Whatever happens with Metal Gear Solid.
Well, I've been reading reviews and I've been seeing a little bit of gameplay, and they say, you know, one guy said, I played the first 2 hours of it and it's a very, very different game. But you know what? Hideo Kojima's name is over everything. Like, he may be getting the last laugh out of this whole Konami Kojima studio split thing. Cause,
you think?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to patch his name out. I mean, I guess they could, but they're not going to.
I'm going to laugh so hard when they do, just because you said that.
They could. Anyway,
technology.
We are going to talk about some of sort of the idea of E3s. For those that know, the Electronic Expo something or other. I can't remember even what
Extravaganza.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I can't remember what it actually.
Wow, we are awesome at this.
Yeah, I don't even remember what it's called. But anyway, E3 is Entertainment Electronic Expo. Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Yeah, sounds about right. Whatever.
Anyway, at E3, that's the chance for developers who don't have their own conference.
Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Yeah, okay. So I knew it was something like that. Anyway, it's where all the video games are.
The video games. That's what everyone cares about.
It's similar to the Tokyo Game Show or CES, except more for America. Video games. In America, yeah. And typically they do it in California. So we never go to E3 because, one, we're not media. I mean, we are, but we aren't.
We are.
And we can't afford to fly out there. I mean, and we can't get a press pass.
No. Good luck getting a press pass.
Right.
Anyway.
So what we're going to talk about is exactly the structure of E3. E3 is built around a few things. There's the big presentation demos for the big companies, console base,
AAA,
Microsoft, well, the hardware companies, Microsoft, Sony,
still AAA companies,
and Nintendo.
Direct.
And then we're going to go for Ubisoft and I don't know, Crystal Dynamics, Eidos, any of the big heavy hitters. A Harmonix might have one, or I don't know, Sony Computer Entertainment America or Japan, Square Enix, any of the big companies.
Yeah.
The triple A companies.
Yeah.
Right. So there's the game demo section and the product demo section and whatever, where they release all of the ideas and all of the things that they're going to show.
They call them the promises that they're going to break.
Typically, yeah.
Let's be honest.
Typically, this is in the form of a game demo or a video or both or
It'll
a presentation or whatever.
Out.
And then kind of behind the scenes, there's a conference, a Sony press conference or whatever. And it's less pomp and circumstance, and it's more demonstration, but where you can ask questions and everything. It's not just sit down, shut up, and watch what's going on. It's you can ask questions and kind of figure it out. And then there's the floor. The floor is where all the crazy stuff happens. It's like a big, giant arcade room. Everybody's got their own booth babes and their own booths, and everything is going on. There's somebody at some point yelling, Ridge Racer, and, everybody is having an awesome, awesome time. This is what you typically see after the demos on G4, Tech TV, or whatever.
Yeah.
Revision 3, I'm sure we'll be covering everything.
Oh, absolutely, sure. Fancy companies.
And we will be referencing Revision 3 probably a lot. That's my go-to.
Yeah, no, I love Revision 3.
So anyway, let's go ahead and talk about game demos.
This is where you show a game.
This is where you show
a
game. This is where you say, hey, we're going to show a game. We're going to show Tomb Raider. We're going to show, Rock Band or whatever. At least the parts that we've built. We want to generate hype. In fact, there's an awesome place, an awesome type of game mechanic in the game, Game Dev Tycoon, that is on Steam. I bought it for like $5.
I've literally never played that.
It was a really cool game. It's not a hard game. I mean, you make games, you give it a genre and then a type of game. So action, space, RPG. Action, and we're going to call it Moon Rangers. And
the third.
Moon Rangers 3. You could do that. You can make sequels to other games. So if you make a Moon Rangers, you can make a Moon Rangers 2 and make it a sequel.
Nice.
You can research and develop stuff. Anyway, they have something in the game where you can go to and kind of have a booth at their version of E3.
That's funny.
And it's really, really neat. A point of an E3 demo is to generate enough hype for people to want to buy the game later on. And
we've been on the hype train.
We've had some really awesome hype come out of some games out of nowhere that we haven't heard of these games at all. No Man's Sky is one that comes to mind. Last E3, they showed off No Man's Sky, and it was like, boom, what? Where did this game come from? Out of left field, out of nowhere. We didn't see it coming at all, and here it is, and now we want it. We want it on disc. We want it on DLC. We want everything.
All the things you
it's
want it.
Also
that's called hype.
It's supposed to also get people talking about how much better this game or that game is from another type of game at E3 or another company at E3. So
right. The whole point of E3 is to get people talking about everything.
Right. It's a popularity contest. That's all
literally.
It really, really is. But it's funny whenever you see on the positive note, kind of, we're not going to devil's advocate this yet. On the positive note, E3 demos are, when they're amazing, they're amazing. Everybody standing ovation, what did I just witness? It's amazing.
Yeah.
On the other side.
It's one of those events like spectacles I would love to see one day.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But. Because you could see, especially, and I feel like non-game demo based, E3s are a little annoying because you see a video, you see this nice CG, everything's CG. It's easy to make things look pretty. But you see these videos and people aren't playing the game and you're like, all right, cool. And then the game never gets made.
That happens all the time.
We had a game last E3 that got canceled and it was like the biggest showing from Microsoft. I can't remember what it was called. It was a revamp, like Phantom Sand or Phantom Dust or something. I never played the original. Yeah.
Oh,
Phantomware, nice. So for instance, the bad, I'm sorry, and then the other side of things is that you do a game demo and the game is either fantastic or the game is not fantastic. Like not just average, but bad. Some of the best E3 game demos, like Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, whenever it came out in 2012, fantastic. I was watching it on the live stream. I was like, yes. And I kept on getting annoyed because the live stream kept like freezing. And I wanted to see it stream, you know, seamless, and it just wouldn't work.
Does it happen for you? Well, that sounds like your problem.
Oh, yeah, no, it was definitely my problem.
A demo, like you're saying, though, can break or make a game coming out for the next year.
Right, but it's not exclusively the game, like, breaking. It's not like the game has a problem and that's breaking.
Well, no, I mean, this event is all about presentation.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. Your presentation, you may have the best game in the world. If you can't present it, no one cares.
The best thing that I remember, there were two of them, and they both revolve around like plastic instrument games. The first one, Rock Revolution. It was Konami's clone of Rock Band.
Okay. I don't even remember that one.
No one does. It was bad.
Okay, so presentation.
The drums were just arbitrary shapes. I don't remember it. So Rock Revolution, they did a game demo, and they're playing they have a developer, I assume. Up there. And she was playing the game and... playing the bass, and she did so poorly, failed her out of the entire song. Like,
they didn't have it rigged for the demo.
No, and that's sort of the thing. Like, you want to show off what the game can do, but you don't want. I think one E3 a while back, there was a video of gameplay, and someone was moving things on a controller, but it wasn't actually it was just a video playing. So, you know,
I think you should make like a special level for the event, which they do.
Like a no-fail mode?
But because you don't want to fail out and be like, well, made it halfway through the demo.
Well, maybe if it wasn't a clone of an already successful game, you know?
Oh, that might help too.
If we sell it for $20 cheaper and all our instruments are free, then maybe people will buy it. The other thing was actually with Rock Band, where they're playing on stage and it's awesome and they're in the middle of the song and the girl, they have a four-piece band, singer, bass player, guitarist, and drummer.
We didn't get invited. We're like one of the top in the world. I'm surprised they didn't invite us.
Everyone's one of the top in the world.
Did you lose our ticket again?
I guess. It was like I lost in the mail. No, they're up there. Man. She's singing and all of a sudden somebody hits the start button. Which happens to like at least once a night when we play.
Oh yeah,
you know, people hit the start button and it pauses the game, and people are like, it's just like kills the whole atmosphere. And so there's that. On the other side, it could be the game engine. The game could just not be ready, or you could be pushing too much.
Yeah,
Assassin's
Creed would never happen at large companies.
Well.
No one ever shoves time schedules down your throat that you can't meet.
Right. And in another way, there's actually a case study on Bioshock Infinite's game demo that they did, and even one for Aliens Colonial Marines that we'll get to in a minute. The one I was thinking about was Assassin's Creed Black Flag. That's the fourth one.
Yeah.
They showed the game demo and the guy was playing it, and then all of a sudden it would just like stutter and pause, and everyone saw it, but no one wanted to say anything. No one wanted to make a judgment. And even he's like, oh, that's fine. And it immediately recovered. And then, you know, you keep playing in the game demo and it stutters again. And the game looks really great, but then it's just stuttering and it's taking longer and longer to recover until it's silent. Everything is silent except the tippity tap of live blogging. Everything else is silent. And it's just such an awkward feeling. You feel bad because the game was looking so good. It was looking so promising. You know, how much of a mistake.
And it would take a very good presenter to recover that.
Right, right.
Which can be done, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
It's all about presentation. So
what else you got for me?
Bioshock Infinite. We're going to go ahead and cut to this. Bioshock Infinite.
Remember that game? Fun game.
It was a really good game.
Bioshock America.
Back in the day... I was trying to think of when it was. I think it was at 2011's E3, whenever they showed their initial demo for it. It was a vastly different game. I'll try to post a link to the trailer or to the demo. It was a very, very different game. The look was about the same, but I mean, it was a darker game. Mm-hmm. It was there were just a lot more things going on in it.
The final product was nothing like the original demo, is what you're
saying. Right, right. And that's okay because I think Ken Levine or someone at Irrational Studios said was something to the effect of, you know, we built that demo to show we worked months on handcrafting that demo for E3. We stopped actually working on other things in the game so we can make this demo that the rest of the world was going to see for virtually the first time. And the reason they did that, the reason they made this big demo the way they did, was to sort of highlight. What they wanted the game to be, what the message of the game they wanted it to be, and not just to the audience, but to like the developers that weren't there as well. We wanted to make a statement about what we wanted, not what we would necessarily produce, but what we wanted. And in BioShock Infinite's case, that worked. But in a lot of other games' cases, I imagine that doesn't work.
Falls flat. Yeah.
For instance, Aliens Colonial Marines.
Good instance.
They showed. I don't know when they showed it, but they showed it, and then it looked amazing. It looked fantastic. It was almost like the first level, like the very first level they played through, and it was great. And then they released the game a year or two later, and after it had changed production studios and changed developers.
Well, anytime a game goes through changing production studios and things like that, it always wears on the game.
Oh, yeah.
I actually wonder why they keep a property alive like that. To me, it just seems like you should nuke it at some point. But businessmen tend to think otherwise.
I like the Aliens IP.
Okay.
I love it. And so much of that, I think they're making another Aliens movie. And that's awesome.
Are they?
I think they are.
I have not heard that. Wow.
I know Ridley Scott probably isn't doing it. He's doing The Martian, which is coming out in November, and it looks fantastic.
Yes, it does.
So anyway, you know, they could have dropped the IP. They could have done better. But, you know, it promised a lot with that demo. And whether they said that it was going to do this or said they were going to do that, they showed it. And it's on the internet. You can retrieve it at any point. So it's kind of hard to justify not having that when, you know, it was there. You saw it. Like, why didn't you give us that? It was so easy. You did it in the demo.
It was so easy. You did it in a demo. Just do it.
Right. Another problem is that, you know, when they're playing these games, they may not be playing it on a stock Xbox or a stock PS4. They may be playing it on like a game developer version
of
it. Or a super high end PC with just like a regular, you know, controller attached to it. So I mean there's a little bit of I guess there's a little bit of an expectation that you kind of have to modify your expectations of, unless I have a Titan or a 980 or whatever, and a ton of RAM and a fast processor and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously. It's, you know, for, like, again, The Witcher. I'll say The Witcher. They did a demo of The Witcher and it looked fantastic. And they believe they delivered on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know on other games they haven't delivered on that. They show you one thing and then they say, oh, we have to port it to Xbox 360. So since we developed it for Xbox 360, we had to upport it to PC, and now it doesn't look that great. So
right, that happens too much.
Yeah. There's the other side of the game didn't crash. The people that were playing the game didn't suck.
Yeah.
And it didn't promise too much. It could be that it promises something that's in the game, but that's just the highlight. Sort of like a movie trailer. You see all of the action in the Avengers in the trailer, and you don't need to see it in the rest of the movie.
Yeah, but that's something
that's
actually
an example.
Just
I'm
about
not saying
to,
it
no,
all
no,
the Avengers.
No, that's something I was about to point out, though. Oop, I hit the mic. Hi, Mike. How are you? No, but in presentations like this, you want to give away some things, but you don't want to give away everything. And you want to make it awesome and memorable, but you have to be able to deliver on whatever you've demoed.
Right.
So if you make it super awesome, everyone's expecting this thing, and then even though you may have made a good product, if it doesn't live up to that hype,
right,
no one cares.
And that hype can be generated by a ton of things. It could be fan hype. It could be, you know, community hype. It could be based around the series if you're making, like, the next iteration.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, for instance.
Metal
Gear. I know Assassin's Creed, recent one, Chronicles,
there's a huge
or whatever.
Following for that.
Splinter Cell. I remember Splinter Cell.
They did really well for a while.
They did really well, and then there
with
was
Tom Clancy's name
Blacklist.
Attached.
Splinter Cell Blacklist in 2012 was shown, and people didn't like it. It was less stealth. It was supposed to be the Xbox version for a long time, the Xbox equivalent of Metal Gear Solid, or Siphon Filter, or whatever you want to call it. It was just another stealth game. Not that it wasn't good, just that it was the other stealth game that people referred to. And it did have Tom Clancy's name behind it, but then when they show Blacklist, it was just this super over-the-top action, guns, explosions, everything game, and not a lot of stealth. And the problem with that is you've built a series
around
on stealth.
Yeah.
Or around something, and then you deliver something else. You show something else. Now,
managed expectations.
Right. It wasn't that they didn't have stealth in the full game. It was this concept or this pre-concept of they're taking out stealth from the game. They're going to make it a run-and-gun shooter, side-scrolling action-adventure RPG mamorpaga. You know, they're gonna make it something that it's not, and that's a problem.
I have no idea what game you even just said. What genre was that?
It's every game.
It's every game ever.
Every game.
Actually, that's a good point. I hate it when games try to be everything ever. sandbox games do that like a lot.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
they're not just going to be a shooter or something. They're going to be a shooter and a puzzle solver and blah, blah, blah.
While we have you, because we are getting a little long on this segment, we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about just some instances of when the E3 demo didn't quite work out or when it was just super dumb.
I can't wait to remember.
So this one is titled BAM, There It Is. And this is just a list we found online. BAM, There It Is. Way back in the day in 2009, Microsoft's E3's press conference, they were showing Kinect. They wanted to show Kinect. And the Kinect guy, Kudo Tsunoda, comes out.
I know his name.
So, yeah, comes out on stage, and he wants to show you about body movement. And it's just like a Xbox version of the Mii character, whatever your avatar is up there. And he's moving around and everything, and he says something like, you ever wonder what the bottom of an avatar's shoe looks like? And he wants to show you the bottom of the avatar's shoe. And he kicks out his leg, and he goes, bam, there it is. And the entire avatar just, folds in on itself and contorts in such a weird way. And it was really, really, really bad. So,
good times. See, the problem was they didn't have Ballmer doing it. That was their problem.
Oh.
Steve Ballmer. he would have got him out there on stage.
He would have been brilliant. Battle Tag. Do you remember Battle Tag?
No, I don't remember.
All right, so Battle Tag, 2010.
5 years ago.
5 years ago, they wanted to present, or after presenting, this is Ubisoft, they presented Child of Eden and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, one of the best games ever.
Yep, remember that?
Brotherhood, at least. I haven't played Child of Eden. So, you know, you got the good games out of the way, the really, really good games, and the audience, they pulled out their second string. This guy starts talking or whatever, and then all of a sudden, music starts playing and lights start flashing, and he's like, "What? I'm talking here." And for a second, you think, "Oh, somebody messed up with the soundboard. They hit the wrong button."
Right.
But then all of a sudden, these super athletic models come out and they're playing laser tag and they're doing cartwheels and jumping over things, and he's like, I'll hide behind this thing, and he hides behind the podium, and they do all the stuff
over the top.
Right, it was really over the top. It was it was cringeworthy. And then this guy, this Australian guy, comes out and is like, yeah, you know, whenever you want to play with your friends, you could play Battle Tag, and look, it's pretty much laser tag for your consoles. You have to scan this and then you can shoot this other thing. And it was not.
Or I might just go play laser tag.
Right, so it's you can go to a laser tag place and be better than that.
Quarters, Baton Rouge, play it.
A while back, just Mortal Kombat decided to show up Killer Instinct, and they fought on stage. There was this big, Raiden and Liu Kang, and everybody came out and fought on stage. But what beat it was Killer Instinct. Because Killer Instinct and Mortal Kombat, I grew up with both, but they had this feud going on. Killer Instinct came out with Killer Cut, which was back in, I can't even remember what E3, this was back in the day, probably back in the mid-90s. It was an entire spandex-clad dance team coming out dancing to this game. It was when you look at retro video game commercials, you're like, what are they actually selling here? I don't understand.
No, you want to see some trippy stuff? Look at retro video game commercials.
Yep.
What?
Back in the day when they were unveiling the Wii Music, this is 2008, this guy, they paid a drummer or a developer, I can't remember.
A drummer developer? A drum developer?
They paid somebody, they got somebody on stage to play a drum solo with Wii Music, with Wii, the nunchuck and the Wii controller. It was a bad solo. I have a drum set. I don't know how to drum, though. It was a gift, and I'm learning. I could play a better drum solo than this guy. It was just it was so bad. And at the end, it was cricket.
One guy
cricket.
Clapping.
You know, it was really, DJ Ravi Drums. That's his actual name.
DJ Ravi
It's
drums.
A minute long drum solo that it was, people didn't know what to think. It was really, really bad.
Thanks to look up on YouTube later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was that one E3 where Jamie Kennedy was high and drunk, and in 2007, he was like, I've already done Malibu's Most Wanted and the sequel to The Mask.
Oh my God, yes.
I'll go ahead and host Activision's E3 press conference.
Why not?
So he came up just super, super, super drunk and really high.
It was
bad.
Brilliant is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, his jokes weren't funny. It was just bad. And then in 2010, Konami had a really, really, really bad press conference where pretty much everything they demoed was terrible.
Speaking of things that are terrible and conferences, I want to cover a whole nother conference real quick because it won't take me very long.
What is it?
WWDC 2015.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
My God, that was terrible.
End of
That's pretty much it. No, it was ridiculous. Only available on iOS devices unless you had VLC Media Player and could just plug the stream in. And they didn't really introduce anything new, Apple.
No.
Like, I really feel like after Steve, they haven't done much.
This was probably the most lackluster.
Yeah, and I didn't feel like this was a developer conference. I don't know. I didn't see one line. I may have seen a line of code.
I think it's
like
probably
a lot. I can count on one hand the amount of times I saw code.
It's probably not been a developer conference for like 3 or 4 years.
Well, to be fair, that is true, but
because I know more than developers.
They literally had a money angel in the opening. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to cut to a song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to end up the show. This is Save World, Get Girl by I Fight Dragons. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Save World, Get Girl by I Fight Dragons. We're out of time, but before we go, let us tell you about the website, Bear. What is it?
ExpPoints.com. Remember to double tap that P.
We're also on social media. Check us out at ExpPoints.com/social for all that cool stuff. And check us back next week because we're bringing it during 7.5, the
again,
half season. We're bringing it. Again, if you've missed any episodes, though, please, I posted all of them, except with the exception of this one, because we're not done with it yet.
It's happening.
It's online. Check it out. And stay tuned on the blogosphere for our blogosphere. We are going to go ahead and very shortly be posting.
On the scene.
We're busting out.
We are changing the internet.
Yep, we are. Well, our internet anyway. We're going to leave on a twofer, a double song.
Get MG some internet.
This is History Repeating, Parts 1 and Part 2. It's like one long song by the Megas off of their History Repeating Blue album. It's really, really good. So we'll catch you back next week, 9 to 10 every Wednesday. Experience Points, as always. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And thank you again for listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU. Good night.